fast day, and obviously it's a little bit of a tougher day. I thought it would be appropriate, as we're sort of learning the Torah here of the Gra, to be able to talk a little bit about one element of Galus. These fast days, meaning not Tanis Esther, but fast days like Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamas, etc., are opportunities to reflect upon Chorban in a certain sense. Many of us, I think, I'm definitely in this category, our primary understandings of Galus and Chorban tend to come up through what we do in the summer. That tends to be the season when people speak a little bit more about that, those sugyas. But it's beneficial to speak about, you know, Galus and Asar B'Teves. Especially because if you're a little bit, you know, cynical at times, so rove people that speak about Asar B'Teves speak about this Avud Raham, that Asar B'Teves with Bidocha, even Shabbos, and give different hesberim for it. And we've done that in the past, but we're not going to do that today. We're going to speak about Galus in a little bit of a broader way, Apitaras HaMachshava. I want to sort of introduce it to explain what we're going to be doing, and I think we're going to see some really beautiful Torah. I don't know how much we're going to get through. There's an enormous amount to talk about, but let's me unpackage things in the following way. Galus in Nach. Galus is often associated, at least in the way that many understand the psukim, as being asleep. Shir Hamalos B'Shuv Hashem Es Shiva Sion Hayinu Kecholman. That when we returned to B'Shuv Hashem Es Shiva Sion, when we go back after Chorban Bayis Rishon, we're going to say Hayinu Kecholman. Implicit in Hayinu Kecholman is that we were asleep when we were in Galus, and then we were woken up from our dream when we returned for Binyan Bayis Sheni. You find a similar thing in what is one of the more famous psukim in Shir HaShirim, Perakei, Pasuk Beis. Ani yishena velibi er, kol dodi dofek, pischuli achosi rayasi onasi, samasi v'chulei. Ani yishena velibi er, that I am sleeping, but my heart is somehow awake. So ani yishena, so Rashi understands it as saying that we were sleeping in Bayis Rishon. We weren't awake enough to do mitzvos. But the way that many understand it, ani yishena, the way the Gra understands it, as an example, here in Shir HaShirim, ani yishena kolomar bigalus, that in Galus was a time when I was considered to be asleep when I was in Galus. The Gra in the Aderes Eliyahu and Dvarim and Perek Lamed Beis writes similarly, that because we are asleep, there are implications in the way in which we even experience Geula. The Gra in Shir HaShirim, that was put up by Masada Rav Kook, a lot of it was done by Rav David Cohen, Rav Shiva of Chevron in Yerushalayim. Rav David Cohen is one of the great experts in the Kisvei HaGra. Done a lot of really important work with the Gra and a beautiful Torah. So he points out a lot of the course of what we'll quote today. But V'chein Asakas Baruch Hu B'Yisrael B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, because we're sleeping in Galus, that's what it meant in Bayis Rishon, after the Korban Bayis Rishon. Even in Mitzrayim also, we were sleeping, implications for the way that we had to be woken up, which was with a little bit of a soft and gradual wake-up. We had to be woken up a little bit. We had to be brought up a little bit because we were be'etzem sleeping while we were in Galus. What does it mean? The two, I guess, main questions that we're going to speak about today a little bit, I hope it's like when we get to, is what exactly does it mean that we were sleeping when we were in Galus? What are the implications of that? Sleep has a lot of different connotations. Sleep is something which, for certain tzaddikim, sleep is associated with even revelations of Torah. Tzadok has some ideas like that, writing down some of the dreams he had. Dreams at times, the Gemara tells in Brachos, are associated with prophecy. So in a certain sense, there's a positive connotation towards the element of Chalomos. We also know that dreams is, sleep is considered to be Echad of Shishim of Misa, that sleep has certain very negative connotations. Sleep has different kinds of connotations. It can be restorative. Sleep can also be something which is fundamentally negative. So what element of sleep are we talking about? And presumably it's a negative element. We're comparing it to Galus. But what part in particular of Galus are we saying that it's ki'ilu a person's asleep when it comes to Galus? That's going to be very important, because if Galus is about being asleep, and the way to get out of Galus is by waking up, so the more that we can define what it means to be asleep in Galus, the more that we can have an actual conversation about potentially what wake up is supposed to look like. Additionally, what's intriguing is the ani yishena v'libi er. Apparently, there is something that's asleep in Galus, but there is something associated with the heart that is awake in Galus. And what exactly is that libi er? What exactly is that's awake? throughout Golas. What exactly is it? So I want to try to develop a couple of different ideas about the sleep of Golas, and then we'll see the way I think the Gra says it out in a couple of places. We'll see some intriguing Torah of the Gra. We'll see a beautiful Karen Ora in Mesechus Tainus. We'll see what I think is going to be some very important Torah. What does it mean to be asleep? So in the Psikta, the Medrash, on Shir HaShirim, so they elaborate on the Hagdara of sleep in Golas. This will define part of the challenge of Golas. Amra Knesset Yisrael, Ani Yishena B'Malchias. I'm sleeping in when I am consumed by the other nations. Ka'adam sha'avru alav har beit saros, umitoch hatzaros, naf alav tardema, v'yishen lo. You know what the sleep of Golas is? The sleep of Golas is at the end of an atrocious day, when you've been so overwhelmed, and the fatigue is so all-consuming, that a person at the end of the day just crashes. They crash out of their pain and sorrow. They're unable to muster the physical strength to be able to stay awake. And in that sense, the idea of Golas is Kach Yisrael beGolas ki yishenim. We were so subjected to pain. We were so open to the challenges there. Ve'enim yodim me'ezim madrega yardu. We're not even sure where we are, Bichlal. That's part of the idea of Golas. The idea of Golas is a person can lose sight and perspective because I'm just so overwhelmed with Sarah. I'm so overwhelmed that I just pass out from a degree of sleep. The Netziv, in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, the Netziv understands a little bit, again, in a similar way, but maybe a little bit of a different point of emphasis. Ani Knesset Yisrael Yishena, Am Yisrael is asleep in Golas. Beli his orus lavo b'cheshbon. Without the capacity to even figure out where I really am, memela teva haguf v'halichas olam osim shalahem uban lidei mecholim. The sleep of Golas is not about the overwhelming sense of pain; it's about the lack of being aware of what you are really doing. Sleep is often associated with a lack of responsibility. When a person's asleep, I'm not cognizant enough of my actions. I'm not aware of what's going on. I'm totally lost in terms of what's actually happening in life. Says the Netziv that what happens in Golas, the nature of Golas, is that I'm just sort of going through my general kufa without a real awareness of what's happening. I'm missing something. Something is lacking in a very real way. That, David Cohn points out, you find in certain Sfarim, even by Kisvei Hagra, you find ideas like this, that there's a certain siluk hamochen, there's a certain lack of understanding and awareness that takes place in Golas. There may be an additional kind of interpretation I want to share with you, what is, I think, an awesome Karen Ora. Let's try to understand it based on the Gemara in Tainus on Chav Gimel. It's a very, very famous Gemara in Tainus, a very famous Gemara. It's a Gemara that is incredibly relevant to our particular sugya. And sometimes if you learn it in Tainus, you can focus on a different part of the Gemara, but we'll understand it in the following way. Amar B'Yochanan, Kol Yomav She'oso Tzad, we're talking about Choni Hamaga. Choni Hamaga was one of these Tanaim who was unbelievably holy. His capacity to daven and to bring rain was unique. He was able to speak to the Rabbanu Sha'olam at times in a bit of a more forceful kind of a way. Choni Hamagil is associated, the Gemara tells us, with the ability that in his time, Nehir and Shmeisen, there was a certain clarity and learning in the time of Choni Hamagil. He was this unbelievable person. The Gemara tells him it was a pasuk he could not really understand. Kol Yomav She'oso Tzadik Haya Mitzdara Mikra Zeh Hashir Amalos B'Shuv HaSem HaShiv HaSiyon Hayunik Echolmen. He said, what does it mean that Klal Yisrael and Golas, it was as if they were asleep for 70 years? Amar Mi'ika Denayim Shivin Shonin B'Chalma? Can anybody possibly be asleep for 70 years? Meaning, what is the imagery that the Gemara in Tainus, that the Pasuk, is trying to convey? What does it mean? He's basically asking our question. What does it mean that they were asleep for 70 years? What does it mean? So again, the Psikta says what it means is that they were just so overwhelmed with pain that they crashed. Then the Tziv says they were unable to fully appreciate what was going on in their lives and to assess it. Choni Hamaga was saying, I don't give a what the pshat is. Like, what does it mean they were asleep for 70 years? So Gemara says, Yom Echad Dehava Azol Be'orcha, a well-known story. One day Choni Hamaga was walking in the street. Chaz Yelohu Gavra Devanata Charuva. He saw a person who was planting a carob tree. They still give that out on Tu B'Shvat? And is that like still a thing they do?
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable custom that Jewish people have. Okay, very good. Amar Le, Hi, Ad Kamashan, and tell them, how long does it take until the tree is going to finally, you know, be able to blossom? So Amrle at Shivin Shanin, it'll take 70 years. Amrle Pshidalak the Chayish Shivin Shanin, you think you're going to live another 70 years? Why are you planting it? So he said, Amrle Hagavra Alma Becharuvesh Kachte, Kihekadishdali Avasi, Chasinam in the Bra. He says, no, I was born into a world of carrot trees. Apparently, my ancestors planted these trees. So I'll plant it for my children that they should be able to have this stuff. So then Chalim Lager was sitting down, Yasuf Kakarach Rifta, Asile Shinta, Nim. He ended up falling asleep. Ahadale Mishnuse, Ichsim Eina, Vinam Shivin Shanin. He wiped out, it was like a really kishmaka nap, like some of you probably are anticipating following this year, that he went down and he crashed. 70 years he was out. Okay. Kikam Chazal Hugava Dava Kamilka Minayu. So he woke up and he saw something eating from the carrot tree. He says, are you the one that planted it? Amrle, no, Barbare Anna. I'm the grandson of the one who planted it. Amrle, Shma Mina, deny me, Shivin Shanin. Apparently a person could sleep for 70 years. I now get shot in Pasuk. So says the Gemara. It's a bit of a sad story. He went to the basement, went to his house, they didn't believe who he really was, went to the base medrash. It was a little bit of a sad ending for him. But the Karanora asks what is an amazingly simple question. Sometimes this Gemara gets quoted, I think, in Shmuz about planning for the long term. Now, that is an important message from this Gemara. It does not appear to be the primary message of what's going on. What's going on is that somehow he couldn't end up shot in the pasuk. Like, people sleep for 70 years, and then guess what happened? He went to sleep for 70 years. Ah, now I get shot in the pasuk. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm projecting. It is not exactly so clear how that act. I like the psikta and the tzip shot and what it meant to be asleep for 70 years. What exactly is pshat in this Gemara, Meseches Tainis, when it comes to Choni Hamagil? What exactly is going on here? So says the Karen Ora. Karen is one of the great Achronim there, Meseches Tainis. The Karen Ora has the following pshat in this Gemara. What does it mean to be asleep? And what's the message of this particular Gemara, you sleep for 70 years? So he says as follows, three lines down. Nira. The Mikra Omer Tamal Mehiris HaGu'ula Ayin Shan. The Gemara is trying to explain why it was 70 years. And 70 years is a short gullus in that particular tkufa. It's post-Korban Bayis Rishon, so why was it 70 years? Kiyadua kiyagolios mechunim b'shem sheina. Because we know that gullus is associated with sleep, like we saw in the psukim. That was the pasuk he couldn't understand pshat in the same way. Vilayla, it's like nighttime. Mipnei, she yisrael yishen min ha-mitzvos. What's the pshat that it's considered to be like sleep? It means that we are sleeping in the sense that we're not being mekayim mitzvos. Not the tsaras or the inability to be mechashmen, you know, proper chetan nefesh, but we're not performing mitzvos. Uvazeh heim gormim kivyachol lemaila dugmas hashena. That because we are asleep, the way that gullus works, because we're not alive and awake and passionate and vibrant, better kivyachol mitzvos, so the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes mirrors us. And the Ribbono Shel Olam also engages like that. Al kein begullus bavel. So says the Karen Ora, the chiddush of gullus bavel wasn't that we were asleep in gullus, it was rather that the chiddush was that we were dreaming in while we were asleep. Al kein begullus bavel so nisgabra hashena kolkach. Gullus bavel, says the Karen Ora, was not the deepest of sleeps. It was 70 years in bavel. It was not as deep a sleep, relatively speaking, for gullus. That was pretty brief. And we were able to dream. V'lohayinu el kecholmim. It was not the deepest sleep in the world. It was we were dreaming. Hainu kein tnuma ba'alma. V'yaduah jibishasa tnuma lo nostalgu adan kokokos ha-machshava. That the idea of dreaming is a way of connoting the fact that even when you're sleeping, you're still a little bit, your mind's still working. Your mind is still on some level conscious of something while a person is dreaming. And the idea was, step one, b'shuv Hashem hayinu kecholmim. What that meant was that during that gullus, we were like people who were sleeping, but it was, says the Karen Ora, not the deepest sleep in the world. It was a light sleep. It was a sleep where we were still dreaming. Our mind was still working on some level. Al kein yarbe yosra chalom b'es hazos. But there's a lot of dreaming going on. Our minds were really there. U'l'umaseh hayah dugma l'mal k'viyachol. When we fall asleep, the Ribbono Shel Olam asks you to sleep. Because our sleep was not as deep. We were not as mufka. So the Ribbono Shel Olam also was not as mufka. And that's why it wasn't as deep. And it was short. It was only 70. It was only 70 years. That Derech Agav says to Karen Ora, as do others. That's what Haman meant. What Haman said about it in the time of Achashverosh, Yesh no am echad. Simple pshat. There is one nation that's mefuzah refuah b'chol ha'amim. Says the Karen Ora, not from the Hasidim. Says the Karen Ora, Yesh no am echad amar lo, it's based on Gemara Maseches Megillah, yashan hu. That we were sleeping. We have a nation that's asleep, meaning they're asleep, but it's not the deepest sleep. The deepest sleep. Haman made the mistake of thinking that we were in a very deep sleep, and therefore he thought that he could kill us in Purim, and that's what it would be. What he didn't know was that the Geula was going to be soon afterwards, because in fact we were not actually so wiped out. The Alzeh, that was the problem with Choni Amayil, couldn't get pshat in. It's a beautiful pshat in the Gemara, which you'll hear many times in your life, and it's a good pshat. The Alzeh Nistaros, what's Tzadik, Amar, Mi'ika, Dinim, Shivin, Shana, B'chalma? Can the people sleep 70 years while dreaming? I know that there could be something. Gizpali Alzman Rav Kazesh, Yeh B'tnuma Bilvad. I understand there could be a sleep of gulls which wipes a person out entirely. I understand a person could be fundamentally so gone. But is it possible to have 70 years of a light sleep? Is it possible to have 70 years of a light sleep? V'lonis gab rashayna behem? Ulachain hir elo. So the message was, look, Choni HaMagil, you could sleep 70 years, and when you wake up, you will be the same as you were before you went to sleep. You'll wake up, part of the chiddush of that story was he woke up and he was still the same age he was when he went to sleep. He was still the same person. Everything else moved on, but he was still the same person. The message was, Hachinami al yipali be'enav al Yisrael, ki lo haya kol ayin shonim ki im bitnuma. And what the Baruch Hu was trying to teach Choni HaMagil there was the sleep of Galus did not mean the sleep that was going to totally wipe a person out. He Dafka emphasizes an opposite Nekuda about the Hayinu Kecholmim. Not the sleep of there's so many tzaras, or the sleep of we can't even be attached to anything, but rather the sleep of it was a very light sleep, that time period of Galus, where we're still aware. And the Chiddush of the Gemara was, look, a person can sleep even for 70 years and they won't be impacted. They won't be impacted the same time. There is a Hosafa here. And it's Hosafa with the David Cohen thinks is Pshat in a Gra, which I think is definitely intriguing. Much as there's a Shena in Galus Bavel, he points out that if you look in the Gra, this is in the Gra in the Yalkut, in the Sof, the Sefer did it's the Yusa on page Lamaches. According to the footnote in David Cohen's, I guess you take Hesber. The footnotes are much longer than that statement. I mean, it's one of these, like, different, it's like Ritva Yavamas level footnotes. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, like, footnotes that are footnotes and footnotes that are Svarim. So this is in his footnotes, I guess. I don't know. He writes as follows. When he describes Gullus, he says, Me'es Shecharav Habayas. From the time that the Migdash was destroyed, Yatza Ruchenu Ateres Roshenu. It's all gone. Our Ruach is all gone. V'nish'arnu rak anachnu hu haguf below nefesh. That in Gullus, it's like our nefesh is even gone. All we are physical bodies. V'yitzia l'chutz la'aretz, and going to chutz la'aretz for us, hu hakever, is like the grave. V'arimas misoveves aleinu. That Jews in Gullus, it's very, very intense lashonos. It's very intense lashonos here. That Gullus isn't just sleep, says the Gra, but Gullus here is like a dead body wiped out for a very long time. Says David Cohen, I think the pshat may be the following. The Gra speaks about the sleep of Gullus in different ways. There are two different forms of sleep in Gullus, and this the Karen Ora goes on to elaborate. There's the Gullus of 70 years, where we were Hayinu Kecholmim, but then there's the gullus of our gullus, which is not a hayinu kecholmim. The gullus of our gullus is not a gullus where we're still dreaming and where we're conscious a little bit and we're somewhat awake, but rather what the Gra meant there in Tzvi Tznusa is different than what he meant in the Deres Eliyahu, is different than what he meant commenting here on the Pesukim and Shirish. There's a sleep which mamish means that you're kimat nothing. You're a guf bali neshama. And that's the sleep which takes place dafka in the context of Dafka in the context of our gullus, when a person is wiped out entirely, v'humamish b'vchinas misa, like sleep being a 60th of death. There are two levels of sleep. There's a lighter sleep and there's a deeper sleep. The gullus that we are in is a much deeper sleep. Says the Karen Ora, aval b'gullus ha'acheron ha'chayel hazeh nisgabra ha'sheinu me'od, u'kvar avru harbei itin latova, and now already it's a time when it's very, very, very hard to get woken up. First part of what we've seen thus far, we'll go to the second part in a second. Gullus is compared to sleep. What does it mean, gullus is compared to sleep? For the psikta, what it means is that galus is that we're so overwhelmed by the tzaras. For the tziv, it means it's hard to be cognizant of what exactly is going on. The karen ora and perhaps the grunt introduce us to the fact that there may be two madregas in just how asleep a Jew is in galus. Two madregas. There's the sleep of Chorban Bayis Rishon, and there's a sleep of Chorban Bayis Sheni. One is a light sleep, Hayinu Kecholamim. One is a much deeper sleep, a much more terrifying sleep, which is where a person is totally wiped out. How do you wake up from galus? How does a person wake up from sleep? So, Ani Yishena V'li Bi'er. I may be asleep, but Li Bi'er. There is something that is awake. There is a kol dodi dofek. There is a knock coming from my beloved. A very famous sefer written by. Yeah, so someone started running all sorts of sefer kol dodi dofek about Elul, but yeah, the rough sefer certainly gets a little more well known. But there is something that's still present. What is still present during galus? What does it mean, v'li bi'er? What does it mean, v'li bi'er? What does it mean, kol dodi dofek? What are those knocks, and what is the awakeness which is present? So the Gra here in Shir HaShirim has a fascinating mahalach. Nitziv has elements of it also. V'li bi'er. If I'm sleeping in galus, who's the heart? Hatamidi hachamim gedolim. Shahayu b'neihem. They're the great Talmidei Chachamim. Heim hayu. They were awake. Kigon Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, v'chavareihem. They are the ones who are awake. Chachamim are there, and they're trying to. They're very much present. They're very much present. Not only that, the Tikkuni Zohar points out v'li bi'er ba'orais, that Torah Chachamim. That's what keeps me awake. And what's the kol dodi dofek? What's knocking? Kol dodi dofek perish ayidei neviim shahayu beinehem. There were neviim in that generation. That's based on the Medrash and Yalkut Shimoni, Rashi as well, that were trying to wake us up by telling us what exactly was going on. And we say pischuli perish shuva elayu pischuli lipcha afil kechudish shalmachat vani eftach lecha kepischei shamayim. And the Rebbeinu Shalom tells us very famous midrashim. That awakeness, all we have to do is a little bit to be woken up. And if we're woken up, even a little bit, so then the experience is one that is far greater. The experience is one that is much more powerful and much more present. The problem is that sometimes, as is clear in the psukim, that wake up doesn't always work. I think, by the way, some people think even that, I remember I saw this, it's a beautiful insight. If why are Chachamim compared to Libi in this case? Because the ideal role of Chachamim are supposed to be Ene Ha'eda, supposed to be on the top, part of the Seichel, giving us vision. But in the time period of Galus, they're dug down deep inside and not playing that same role. Their Chachamim are present, but it doesn't mean that it's working the same way. Ultimately, we take a step, and as the Grub pointed out in the Daris Aliyah, their Rebbeinu Shalom sometimes gives a little bit of a Hisorus. And it's over us to wake us up a little bit for us to do what we want. Salvechik, in Kol Dodi Dofek, develops the idea in a very beautiful way. The Rav is speaking there about the return to Eretz Yisrael post the Holocaust. And the Rav, as is very well known, used this pasuk to describe Klal Yisrael post Holocaust and the knocks that the Rebbeinu Sholem was knocking in the context of 1967, and other opportunities post-Holocaust in regards to Eretz Yisrael. What the Rav's arguing, if you go through the Pasuk, is Ani Yishena V'li Bi'er. On the one hand, there was a sleep and a slumber that was taking place, but the Rav makes the argument that on the one hand, there's a knocking for the beloved to open, there's a knocking which is there, but there really is a kol dodi dofek. The Rebbeinu Shalom, when we are asleep, the Rebbeinu Shalom knocks. And if you look at the way the Rav says it, I think we see very beautifully what he's sort of working off of on the Makoros level. The Rav understood that there were a variety of knocks, six knocks, kol dodi dofek, six knocks. 8 years ago, the Rav said, in the midst of the night of the terrors of Majdanek, Treblinka, and Buchenwald, in a night of gas chambers and crematoria, in a night of total divine self-concealment, in a night ruled by the devil of doubt and destruction who sought to sweep the lover from her own tent, in that night, continuous searching for the beloved. On that very night, the beloved appeared. Meaning, post-Holocaust, we were very much asleep. Asleep very much in the Rav's channeling right here, the psikta. We were asleep by virtue of the terrible tsaras that we had during the Holocaust. We were very, very much asleep. The Baruch Shalom, who was hiding, suddenly appeared and began to knock. He began to knock. Because of the beating and knocking at the door of the mournful lover, the state of Israel was born. This is one of the Rav's most... the Rav is not a Zionist in the way that Ritzvi Yehuda was. The Rav's not speaking a lot about redemption here the same way. He's less messianic in his Zionism. He also is not the Satmar Rebbe that's viewing this as Maaseh Satan. The Rav is viewing this as positive, but the way he does it's intriguing. There were six knocks that were heard at that point in time. I want to identify one or two of them, which the Rav understands are knocks on our door for us to open. If they're Ribono Shel Olam saying, I want to be here, it's time to wake up, are you going to enter the door? But some of them, I think, are incredibly relevant for the tkufa that we are in. Second, the knock of the beloved was heard on the battlefield. Tiny defense forces of the state of Israel, again the translation of the Rav, defeated the mighty Arab armies. The miracle of Rabin Biad Ma'atim materialized before our eyes, and an even greater miracle happened. There was something here about our victorious, what took place on the battlefield, which is the Ribono Shel Olam sending a message of where we are and what exactly we are able to do. Fourth, the knock. We're skipping the ones I can send, at least for now. I want to point out the beloved knocks in the heart of the youth, which is assimilated and perplexed. In the time period of the Holocaust, it was very embarrassing to be a Jew. It was very challenging to be a Jew, because we were a downtrodden nation. Post-1967, we were able to emerge victorious, so many people experienced a certain degree of hisorus. Many people experienced an element of awakening as a result of always taking place. If you follow, even yesterday there was a poll about this, not to make it too whatever, but it's an intriguing thing. It is true that there are many deeply assimilated Jews who have been really challenging for the state of Israel, protesting, you know, for the, we would say, other side in ways that are incredibly problematic. The overwhelming majority of American Jews, even those that are more assimilated, are incredibly pro-Israel even now. And there has been a little bit of a wake-up call. It's such a scary thing for many, maybe written about this, many left-wing progressive Jews who have been protesting with people for a long time have been woken up to the fact that suddenly they are not treated the same way. And a certain identity or piece of Jewish identity has certainly been strengthened. The very mention of the name Israel is a reminder to the fleeing Jew that he cannot escape the community of Israel in whose midst he was enmeshed from birth. It's an awareness also and a knock that we are part of Klal Yisrael, whether you want to be or don't want to be. We are certainly there. And the rub of these lines, it's so everywhere we turn, we hear the name Israel. We listen to a radio station, we open a paper, when we participate in a debate on current events, we encounter the question of Israel. It is always a topic of public concern. This phenomenon is extremely important for Jews who are afflicted with self-hatred and want to turn away from Judaism and run for their lives. They hide, like Yonah did in his time. The captain, however, does not permit them to ignore their fate. The shadow of Israel continuously chases after them. Random thoughts and paradoxical reflections arise in the subconscious of even the most confirmed assimilation. You can be assimilated in the world. You can't escape Israel nowadays. You can't. You can't at all. And when a Jew begins to think, to reflect, when he is unable to sleep, it is impossible to know where his thoughts will take him and how his doubts will be expressed. Listen, my beloved Knox, Kol Dodi Dofeik, I'm trying to wake you up from your sleep. It's an attempt at waking up, not just the victory in the battlefield, or please God will have and continue to be successful there, but the knock of waking up. The fifth knock, these are all, I think, so amazingly relevant to the waking up the Jews of Galus. The fifth knock of the beloved is perhaps the most important. The Baruch Shalom saying, I'm trying to wake you up. For the first time in the annals of our exile, divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, has amazed our enemies with the astounding discovery that there's a knock to wake us up to the fact that, quote, Jewish blood is not cheap. If the anti-Semites describe this phenomenon as being eye for an eye, we will agree with them. If we want to courageously defend our continued national and historical existence, we must, from time to time, interpret the verse of an eye for an eye literally. So many eyes were lost in the course of our bitter exile because we did not repay hurt for hurt. The time has come for us to fulfill the simple meaning of eye for an eye. The Rav notes, of course, he believes in Torah Shabbat, the eye for an eye believes is a din of mammon. That's not what he is saying. With respect to the Mufti and Nasser, Arab leaders at that particular time who were anti-Israel, I would demand that we interpret the verse in accordance with its literal meaning, the taking of an actual eye. Pay no attention to the suggestions of the assimilationists and some Jewish socialists who stand pat in the rebelliousness and think that we are still living in Bialik, Minsk of 1905, and openly declare that revenge is forbidden to Jewish people, and ultimately say, he said, revenge, as the Rav, is forbidden when it is pointless. But if one is aroused thereby to self-defense, it is the most elementary right of man to take that revenge. Anyone listens to headlines, David Lichtenstein. There is a Yaakov Shapira, not just Shiva of America's Hara, who is who's an intense anti-Zionist. Hence, he is one of the many reasons why he's not just America's Hara. Torah knowledge may be a piece of all that also. But he spoke very intensely. He's like a real intense anti-Zionist. Mamish, like he holds like, you know, the Achiezer and others were very problematic. He has pointed out like Judaism rejects entirely the idea of like milchama and revenge and things like that. There are a variety of psukim in Bible and Ma'amari Chazal and even things in Rashi and Chumash that would give us a different interpretation. Okay. But the Rav here certainly embraces very much the knock, which is always here. The Torah is always taught that a man is permitted, indeed has a sacred obligation, to defend himself. That is what we are supposed to do. This is not a stira to our loving kindness and compassion. It's not a stira to the fact that we're supposed to engage in chesed. But rather, let's talk about this too much, but this is definitely part of it. The sanctimonious members of the United Nations, that Jewish blood, we have to remind them that Jewish blood is not cheap. He could have written this like, you know, a year ago, or now, sorry. That, therefore, how laughable it is when the United Nations try to persuade us to rely on the declaration of the three great powers guaranteeing the status quo. We all know from experience that what value can be attached to pronouncements of the British Foreign Office and the so-called friendship of certain officials in our State Department. Stark. Unbelievable. A people that cannot defend its freedom and tranquility is neither free nor independent. Let's not forget the poison of the Hitlerite anti-Semitism, which still permeates this generation, which looked with equanimity upon the horrible scenes of a suffocation of millions or an attack in Gaza. The antidote for this venom and poisoned minds and dulled hearts is the readiness of the State of Israel to defend the lives of its citizens. Listen. My beloved knocks. It's a knock to wake us up in the time period of Galus. The sixth knock that takes place. The sixth knock to wake up Jews from Galus, of which we also should not lose sight, was heard at the time of the opening of the gates of the land of Israel. A Jew escaping from an enemy's land now knows that he can find refuge in the land of his forefathers. There is a new phenomenon in the annals of our history. Up till now, when a Jewish population was uprooted, it wandered in the wilderness of the nations without finding shelter. And it used to be, when Jews were thrown out of Arab countries 50, 60 years ago, when Jews are scared to be in certain places of Europe nowadays, that we were forced to go from place to place. Now the situation has changed. When any nation expels its Jewish minority, the exiled now direct their steps to Tzion, as she, as a compassionate mother, absorbs them. We know it's true. He talks about different groups that have come. Had Israel been born the Hitlerite Holocaust, hundreds and thousands of Jews could have been saved from the gas chambers. The miracle of the state tarried somewhat, and in the wake of its delay, thousands and thousands were taken to the slaughter. Now that the hour of Hester upon him has passed, now that the possibility exists for Jews who are pried from their homeland to take root in the Holy Land, this should not be taken lightly. Listen, my beloved Knox. The Rav then goes on to say as follows. I think this is like so mamish on target for the world. What was our reaction to the beckoning? I don't read that much in public. I apologize. Hope it's okay. Well, whatever. It is what it is. What was our reaction to the beckoning of the voice of the beloved? To the what would happen when Kol Yisrael fake, when Bar Shalom knocks? So what exactly is our reaction? Did we get out of our beds and immediately open the door? Or do we continue to rest like the lover in Shir HaShirim, Perek Hei Halacha Pasuk Gimel? I've washed my feet. How shall I soil them? The opening, the continuation of that pasuk is that the Ribono Shel Olam tried to wake us up, and we did nothing, All the trembling and fear, v'chule, of the geographical integrity of the State of Israel, all the suggestions of our enemies which are directed at territorial concessions by the State of Israel, just give up more land, that's all you have to do, all the brazen demands of the Arabs for boundary changes are based on only one fact. We have not yet fully populated the Negev and established 100 settlements there. To be in Eretz Yisrael, to live in Eretz Yisrael, to settle it in a way where it can never be undone, that is certainly part of what we are supposed to do. The Rav ends by saying, let us, I don't know if it's ending. The Rav ending of what I'm going to read. Let us publicly and frankly confess. We complain about certain Israeli leaders and their attitude towards the values of our tradition and its practice. None of this means that everything's perfect. So many people that are defending the state nowadays don't love the government in all its ways. The complaints, says the Rav, about our leaders are justified. We have serious charge against secular leadership of the land of Israel. However, are only they to be blamed? And are we as faultless and pure as heavenly angels? When people go and they're going to blame leadership about what happened on October 7th, is it only them? Such an assumption is without foundation. We could have extended our influence and done something to shape the spiritual pact of the land if we had but hurried to awaken from our slumber and opened the door for our beloved who was knocking. Have we opened the Kol Yidofeg and come and strengthened and listened and done what we could to wake up from Galus? It'd be great. But says the Rav as follows, I fear that we Orthodox Jews are still enveloped in sweet slumber. I fear that many of us are still sleeping. If we were there to establish more religious kibbutzim, if we built more housing for religious immigrants, if we established a certain kind of school system, situation could be completely different. Then we would be no need to come forward with complaints about Bechule. I think this is also amazing. If you want, it's an amazing line, I think, to contrast. We Orthodox Jews suffer from a unique illness that is not found in non-religious Jews, with some rare exceptions. We are all miserly. We don't like to give that much money. We do not excel when it comes to giving generosity. In comparison with the rest of American Jewry, time of the Rav, from Jews didn't give that much. It was non-from Jews. We are satisfied to part with a couple of pennies, and we demand in recompense for a piddling donation, our reward in this world, and a share in its allocations. We want a lot of schar, so eskel chaylam haba, amanashiyach ebeni, because we give a little bit of tzedakah. Thus, we have less impact. I think it's a beautiful thing, if you pay attention, that in this particular time, I think we could say, certainly with a lot of American Jewry, that we were able to hear a knock. The generosity has been unbelievable. The amount of packages that have been sent over has been very, very powerful. People have been awakened on some level from the slumber. The question is how much we do with it. Galus is a time period of sleep. It's a time period of sleep because of tzara, time period of sleep because of lack of awareness. It's a time of being asleep, but there are different madrigas of being asleep. There's a being asleep where we're just coming over a little bit, still conscious, and asleep, which is a very, very deep slumber. The galus that we are in, says the Gra, is a galus of asleep. That's a bechina of misa when a person is mamish, like in a particular kind, in a particular form of kever. That much is certainly true. But Libi air and koldo dido fake, and there are wake up calls. The Rav spoke about a wake up call in his tkufa, and so many of those knocks are directly relevant to the knocks of what is taking place here. And in many ways, the wake up call that Baruch Hashem lived in a generation where Jewish blood is not cheap because we can defend it. We can have that right to be able to do so. People can give in a generous manner, and people can do what they can to be as to position us to be what we are supposed to be. The Ribbono Shel Olam in a very real way. To be able to wake us up, and a lot of the question is going to be how much we hear, or do we roll over and go back to sleep? To whatever extent we're able to wake up and in a very significant way hear those knocks, and not say I don't want to get my feet dirty, I think I'll just stay in bed. So then there's something which is deeply lacking, but it's an amazing opportunity. I'll end with the Ha'ara. I'll be Taurus Chassidus, I believe, so many years ago that when we say in the pasuk of Shir Amal B'Shiva Hashem Es Shiva Tzion Hayinu Kicholmim. So what does it mean that we're going to wake up? It's going to be like a dream. So the dream, that experience, I believe some of the Chassidim say, is the following very beautiful idea, and we daven that it be true. That when the Geula comes, the Geula is going to be so wonderful and so great that we're going to relate to Galus as if it was a long dream. What does that mean? When you're in a dream, you feel like it's real. But when you wake up, suddenly the dream, you realize it didn't actually happen. What we're davening for is B'Shuv Hashem as Shiva Tzion. We finally come back, but as Hashem, soon, the Karv Mamish, the eventual Geula, what we daven for is that we're going to feel like all of Galus was a dream. Not because of the pain of sleep, but because compared to how awesome Geula really is, it's going to feel like Galus wasn't even that real. It's going to feel like a totally new existence, like a totally new Metzias, like a totally new reality where all of the pain feels like it was so long ago, feels like it never really happened because of how good and sweet and beautiful everything really is. So we daven that if we are sleeping, that we hear knocks, then we get woken up. We daven that the sleep of Galus is able to end. And we daven, most importantly, that when we experience that eventual Geula, we'll look back and feel like it was all a dream, that it wasn't as bad because we see how good things are right now, that at some level a person can't always feel it. But we daven that we'd be zocha and able to feel it in the best way that we possibly can. Have a wonderful rest of your day.